You know, what are the top three healthcare issues in Washington today?
Obviously, right now, tax and tax reform is really big. And there's some a number of healthcare issues that are in tax reform that certainly have the healthcare provider community concerned, particularly health systems around the country, and that has to do with the tax deductibility of some of the bonds for nonprofits, and that has a big implication financially for these health systems that depend on those bonds to finance projects they do. So that's a big issue. And there's other areas in tax reform that impact everything from the individual consumer, such as the deductibility of high medical costs. There's a lot of issues that impact healthcare that are in tax reform, but that is certainly something we're hearing a lot of members about, and that's very much a current issue that's out there. The other issue that is just I could talk about it from a specific vantage point on a lot of levels, and that is the need to fund our entitlement programs that puts the pressure on everything else in healthcare. Because, of course, I think everybody on this phone realizes that most healthcare providers don't, they don't vote because they're mostly institutional. Members of Congress don't think of a hospital as a voting constituent, and they don't think of other post-acute care providers or even physician groups as voting constituents per se, but they do think about the ones who are on Medicare or Medicaid or the subsidies that they're getting through the exchanges as being voting constituents, but they have to pay for all those programs. So what they tend to do is when you're a non quote unquote voting constituent, you end up being the target to pay for the voting constituents that you have to, you've got a benefit that members of Congress are struggling to finance, such as the Medicare program, the Medicaid program, and all the other, things that are in the ACA. So I would say overall, there's just a cost imperative and pressure that exists in healthcare, which manifests itself in a variety of ways, including on things like 340B payment reductions that are being debated in Washington right now. And I think everyone's quite aware of that. But 340B, which is a drug discount program, that has got almost a 30% payment cut that is impacting outpatient hospitals. There are some other changes that were in some of the regulations that were put forward by the administration. These are all really issues having to do with who pays, how much they pay, and whose pocket it comes from. And so those are issues that are impacting healthcare. So that's sort of a second major trend, I'd say, overall. And then we could take that apart in a variety of different ways, John, and talk about, again, things like 340B or DSH payments or site-neutral payment or some of the other issues that are out there. But as a general matter, the pressure for on reimbursement and how do you pay for things that are budgetary items, given the budget pressure in Washington, continues to be a major theme, I'd say, that's going on in Washington. And then the last thing I'd say is then, what are the things driving costs? And that is really comes down to, what's going on what's going on with drugs and devices, and what is the cost impact there of some of the increasing costs that we're seeing in those different areas that is causing policy discussions at FDA, and how do you streamline FDA and so forth, and how do you get products to market so that we get more competitive pressure brought to bear. So it's the things that are driving costs within the context of our movement to value-based care. So all of that is within a larger context of we are moving to a different kind of a healthcare system. where the emphasis is on measuring performance and understanding performance between different provider groups, and away from the silos that we've had, and instead in integrating care, reducing duplication of services, moving to a more wellness-based healthcare system, and then figuring out how do you address the cost drivers within that context.
Yeah, very interesting, Blair. You know, you mentioned a couple of things there that are really interesting, and one of them is absolutely frightening to me, and that's cybersecurity. And I constantly wonder if our supplier community really has their mind around what an important part they are in that. Any supplier that's on any hospital's network or exchanging data or information with a healthcare provider is a major stakeholder in the responsibility of security. And I think we've come a long way, certainly in the last year, but I think what we need to do going forward, still a ton of work needs to be done. I'd love to just hear any comments you have kind of on the stakeholders in the whole supply chain and how they need to get together to work on cybersecurity if everybody's responsible for it.
John, it's a great point. And again, this is why, sort of as you peel the onion here, there's so many different layers of when I, that's why I kind of bucketed things at a high level, but you can go into each of these areas in such detail. So the cybersecurity issue is something we're spending a lot of time on within Premier, in part as an enterprise we look at it, but then we also look at it from the vantage point of our hospitals and how are they protected and how are we helping them understand that. And I can tell you the government is looking at that as well, specifically, and we've actually been asked by government to come up with ideas as to how the government can help ensure that providers are protecting their patient information that they've got. And then, of course, we've got all of the supplier community, and how do we contract for